are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. You're with Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. You can find all my work by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. And joining me again is Chris Bisiano. He is a senior writer at Giant Insider. He has been very kind to take the last couple weeks to jump on the podcast with me and help me break down the New York Giants by position, their 2018 season. And this week we are doing defense. We've done D-line. We've done edge rushers. Today, Chris, we're going to move inside and we're going to do the linebackers.
Oh, yeah. And we need a lot of help here, Pat.
Yeah, this is where it starts to get a little interesting here, you know, because the further back we go, the more help that this team seems to need. But, all right, so, Chris, let's start off. I think, you know, we've got to start with Alec Ogletree because, right. You know, this is a guy they acquired by a trade from the Rams. And a lot of people, when the Giants first got him, Ogletree had finished up 1 year of a contract extension the Rams had given him. The Giants had to redo the number. So just going back to when they first acquired him, were you surprised that the Rams gave up on him as quickly as they did?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. And it also raised my antenna, Pat. It was like a little bit of a red flag about why a team – who's going to compete for the Super Bowl, which they're doing this year, why would they get rid of one of their, you know, so-called top defenders, you know, a linebacker and an old Ogletree? Another thing that raised my concern, Pat, was that the Rams were really not that good against the run last year. Ogletree was a part of that. Giants said it really weren't that good against the run this year. Ogletree's a part of it. So, yeah, it definitely was concerning. I was a little surprised. But then when you looked at the Rams' numbers, I was like, oh, man, why are they getting rid of this guy?
Yeah, that's always the first question I tend to ask is when somebody gets rid of a player or is willing to move a player, you know, what is the reason behind that? And Ogletree, you know, look, he started off slowly, but he came on strong at the end of the year. Now, you mentioned the play against the run. I'm looking at the stats here from Pro Football Focus. Ogletree, all right, not counting Ray Armstrong, who was with the Giants for a cup of coffee here. Ogletree actually finished, third on the team in run stop percentage. Run stop being, you know, the number of stops at or for minus your at 0 yards or negative yardage. Ogletree had 19 such stops in 349 run snaps. So he also logged 30 tackles, 16 assists, and missed 9 tackles, which was a team high amongst the Giants linebackers. But like I said, he got better as the season went on. He did miss a couple of games because of the concussion that he had there at the end. But I just wonder how much of that was a matter of him just getting, you know, his feet underneath him, a new system, a new team. You know, he had been with them obviously in the spring and in the summer, but still, you know, you don't know how you're really going to function until you get everybody out there and start playing snaps together.
Yeah, I wasn't really happy with him and run defense, Pat. I have to be honest with you. He's very concerning in covering running backs or tight ends. I mean, you look at his coverage skills this year. You know, he was targeted 62 times, 51 completions on him, 82.3%. That's bad, Pat. Positives? Hey, he had 5 interceptions, two pick sixes, right? 2 he returned to the house. Mm-hmm. I thought he did get better. I thought he had a stretch, Pat, where he played really well, like 3 or 4 games. And then he got the concussion, you know, finish off the season. Yeah, I thought he was all right. Beginning of the season, I wasn't crazy about it. I thought he played a little bit better. A lot of missed tackles, Pat. A lot of missed tackles. And you know what? You look at him on film, Pat, and I look at him after every game. A lot of can't get off the blocks. A lot of wrong gap reads. So to me, it was just an average season, Pat. And if he didn't have those 5 interceptions, wow. I don't know. You know. And here's another guy, Pat. 11.7 million against the cap next year. What do they do with him? Is he back?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, he brought leadership, which, you know, obviously people say big whoop, you can get a leader for a lot less. But, you know, I just think they have so many holes. Here's the tricky thing, Chris. You don't want to cut guys just for the sake of cutting them.
Because you can't replace them all.
You can't replace them all. So you have to have somebody in mind to replace him with. You can't just create extra holes, because God knows they have enough holes on this defense as it is. So I just think, and I don't think they're going to, you know, ask him to take another pay cut, because they already been down that road with him. I think his is a contract they're just going to have to eat next year.
Yeah, it's not like they have some, you know, young inside back is ready to step in, right, Pat? Yeah, I mean, it's a big cap hit number, not the worst cap hit number. I mean, 11.7, it's not like it's Olivier's 19, you know, but yeah, it's interesting if he'll be back. I do expect him back, but I have to be honest with you, Pat. You know, you look at him on film and look at what he's done. Not too impressed. I'm sorry, I'm not too impressed. Yeah. He was rated very low overall, I think 78th overall linebacker in the league by PFF. Not good, below average. Wasn't rated very good, Pat, coming over from the Rams, you know. No. Good locker room guy, you know, athletic. He's pretty quick. Did have the nice hand, 5 interceptions. But I have to be honest with you, Pat, not too impressed with his play.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned the coverage. You know, if you're going to keep Ogletree, you know, obviously you're going to want him on the field for every single down. And just looking at his coverage stats, he finished allowing 82.3% of his pass targets to be completed for 532 yards. That's an average of 10.4, 291 of those after the catch. And he allowed 3 touchdowns, had the 5 interceptions, as you mentioned, 1 pass breakup. That boils down to an 84.9 NFL rating, which is kind of middle of the pack. You know, not horrible, Chris, but I really believe the 5 interceptions, you know, make the difference for him there.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, we saw that in training camp at Ogletree, that he kind of struggles in space covering guys, you know. At times he was all right this year. Other times he got beat. Listen, the numbers don't lie, Pat. 62 targets, 51 completions.
Yeah.
Right? It's not very good, Pat. It's not a good cover linebacker. So, you know, it's not like I'm just saying, oh, this guy can't cover. Meanwhile, I don't have the numbers to prove it. I mean, they do. You know, the numbers are right there, you know. But, listen, it's 11.7. Like I just said, it's not a huge cap number. I mean, you know, he's a pretty decent, productive guy. I expect him back. But, Pat, like I said a few minutes ago, I'm not too impressed with his play.
Yeah, and, you know, just going back to the point against the, you know, about the run game, he had, let me see, what was it? Hold on 1 second, let me pull it up. 59 total tackles. But as I have said countless times, when you look at tackles made by defensive linemen and linebackers, not all tackles are the same. You have to look at how many are being made within the box, which is that 3 to 5 yard area from the line of scrimmage, versus how many of them are being made downfield. I don't have that breakdown handy, but, you know, I think it's safe to say that there were a few tackles in there that were made several yards down the field.
Yeah, he no question about it. Yeah, he had some around. You know, I think how many tackles he wound up at 86 or something for the year, whatever it was total.
Let's see, they have him down for Pro Football Focus has him down for 59, but I don't think that's correct.
No, look at the assist too, Pat. I think he's got 59 solo, whatever. I think he wound up with over 80, if I remember right.
Let me pull up the NFL stats there, because they have it broken down.
I think he had like 89 or something, Pat.
He had 58. I'm sorry. My bad.
93. Okay. NFL.com. That's all right. Yeah, that's about right. That's the total. I think he had 59 solo, whatever it was, 30-something, whatever it was. Anyway, the point being is that 93, and then you have to start looking about, like you said, where are they on the field? You know, did you consider that an active 93 tackles? Yeah, he had a nice stretch in the middle of the season, like 3 or 4 games in a row. He played really well. And he took it upon himself, Pat. Here's a guy, he said in interviews that, hey, I got to kick up my game. You know, I got to play better. And he did at times. He really did. I just don't think he's a good run inside linebacker, defending inside linebacker. He struggles at times. You look at him in film, folks. and he just struggles at times. He takes the wrong reads and all that, like we just talked about. So, but he'll be back, Pat. It is what it is. You know, he's going to be out of inside linebacker. I don't think there's any question about it, you know.
Yeah, I like you said, you can't replace everybody. I know there's some talent in the draft, but and the Giants are projected to have 11 picks. You know, if over the cap's projection of two additional compensatory picks comes to fruition, but look, I don't think Dave Gettleman is going to use all 11 picks. I think he's going to use some of those picks to move up in different rounds to get guys right. that he wants. I fully do not expect the Giants to come away with 11 picks, but whether or not one of those picks becomes a linebacker, I mean, I would hope so because I think they've got to add at that position.
Oh, man, I hope so, Pat. I hope so. I was so happy that Gettleman drafted a linebacker in Carter this year, and I would hope he addresses it on the inside too. I mean, like you said, I like to see him package some picks, maybe move up and maybe land somebody that's, you know, that's like a nice inside back and that plays the run well. You know, that's what we need. You know, Goodson was pretty decent at it, but that's his forte. But I just like to have a nice inside back. I just don't see Ogletree being that real run stuff and inside linebacker.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a moment because I have the list of inside linebackers scheduled to hit free agency. But, you know, you mentioned Goodson. Let's mm-hmm. take a break, actually, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about him. And then I also want to talk about a couple of the youngsters, you know, Ty Davis and Eligwe. So let's take our break. Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked on Giants. You're with Patricia Traina and special guest Chris Biziano of the Giant Insider. We are breaking down the Giants linebackers. And again, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we did edge rushers yesterday. So we covered, you know, the outside linebackers for the most part. We did the defensive line on Monday. So we just kind of broke it down according to that 3-4 alignment. So we're focusing primarily on the inside guys here. We talked about Ogletree. Let's talk a little bit about Goodson, a young guy who, you know, made it through 15 games this year, finished with, he had what, 40 tackles, I think. 15 tackles for a loss, which was a good enough for a run stop percentage of 6. But, you know, the thing that kind of bothered me about Goodson is it looked like there for a stretch of games, he was losing snaps to other guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it, right? He looked like he was in a doghouse a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was losing snaps to even Nate Stupar. He lost him to Ty Davis. And then he seemed to rebound, right? And then he seemed to gain some more as the season went towards the end of the season, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what did you see when you watched Goodson? I mean, I it was hard, you know, from what I didn't study him so as closely as, you know, so I'm kind of at a disadvantage here. But did you see anything in particular in his game that might have resulted in, you know, the reduction of snaps?
His cover skills are not good, Pat.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Missed some tackles. He had a few missed tackles. I think they were just concerned, Pat, about having two linebackers out there that couldn't really cover anybody. You know, Ogletree struggled. Mm. And then Goodson, you know, he was targeted 39 times this year and gave up 29 completions, you know, 74% completion rate. So you had two guys, one that was 82 and the other guy 74. So I think it concerned Betcha to have both of them on the field and pass, you know, in situations. And you know what? They liked Ty Davis's athleticism. They obviously were down the way Goodson was playing, you know?
Yeah, and that's interesting because Ty Davis is a guy that we did look at over at Inside Football in our year-end review. And I saw splashes from Davis, you know, and, you know, he's raw. He's a young kid. He was undrafted. Mm-hmm. But I saw promise in that kid, you know, when he got out there on the field, didn't you?
Yeah, you got to like his athleticism, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy about some of the missed tackles he had, but I think he's a kind of – they look at him as a real raw athletic kid that they could work with, Pat, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so listen, he was a surprise. I didn't have him making a team over Mark Herzlick at the beginning of the year, and that was a kind of a surprise. So they saw something in him, mm-hmm. and he did get, you know, he got some playing time. And like you said, he took some playing time over from B.J. Goodson during the year. So what does that tell you? That tells you they were down on B.J. at times, and they liked this kid Davis, and he wanted to look at him a lot. And he did. And I expect him on a roster next year, Pat.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And but you know what, Chris? If you're talking Goodson, Ogletree, and Davis, I don't know that all three of those guys are back. Do you?
Well, Goodson, Ogletree, and Davis?
I don't see all three of those guys being back. I'd be surprised.
Really? Yeah. Well, who do you think's going to go? Dave, I guess you got to put – you think Goodson won't be back? I think he'll be back.
I would like to think he's going to be back, but I just wonder, given that he lost snaps, maybe he's going to be the most vulnerable. I mean, from a cap perspective, Ogletree would make the most sense. Yeah. But, like I said, you can't keep creating holes all over the place. So you wonder if, you know, if you say to yourself, okay, well, Goodson – we took Goodson off the field and we put Davis on there and it wasn't that much of a drop off. Do they maybe go in that direction and then add a young guy, you know, via the draft? That's what I'm wondering.
I'm not going to go there, Pat. I think Goodson will be back next year and then there's going to be competition brought in. Now, whether or not he makes the squad, Pat, next September, maybe not. But I think he will be competing for a position next year.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to see him back. I think, you know, he's got some talent. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, when you see him losing snaps to an undrafted free agent.
Right.
And remember, Goodson was, what, a fourth-round pick, if I'm not mistaken? Was he taken in the fourth
round? I believe it was. Yeah, I think it was fourth round, yes.
Fourth round 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that is concerning. That's a little bit of a red flag for me. And, you know, we've seen Gettleman not be afraid to cut former draft picks, you know. He's basically cleaning the draft picks out one after another. And that's why I'm just wondering if of those three, will he bring back, you know, will Goodson be the odd man out? And I know a guy we didn't really talk about yesterday who was played outside linebacker, but we probably should throw him into the mix at some point, is Kareem Martin and whether or not he would be back and where he would factor into the equation.
Yeah, I mean, there's a guy who really didn't do much. Played better at the end of the year, no question about it. But another guy that, I mean, you know, what did he do? Was there much production out of him?
He knew the system.
What was that?
He knew the system.
You love saying that to me, don't you?
I know how much that gets you.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you how much the system produced, okay? You ready? 592 snaps on a defensive line. He had 2 sacks and 14 hurries. That's how much the system produced, okay? So, listen, I thought he played a little bit better at the end of the year, Pat. I did. I thought he was a little more active. But here's another guy that could not stabilize the edge, that continuously lost discipline and collapsed on zone reads, right? Another guy really hurt us a lot in the beginning of the year with that. I thought he was all right against the run. Like I said, Pat, a little more active at the end of the year. I think he does come back another year. I think, let me look it up here. Next year, I think he's like a $5 million cap hit.
Yeah,
he's he's 5.5 towards the cap next year. I think he does come back in year two over here with Betcha, and but not crazy about what he did either, Pat.
No, and it's interesting because when he did start to come on there towards the end, you were like, oh, it's amazing. He's coming on because Lorenzo Carter is, you know, stepping up. You saying that?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised when a kid is right behind you and all of a sudden he's taking his snaps away, how it might light a little fire under your butt. You know what? And Betcher told him that. Do you remember that, Pat, early in the year when Betcher, he had a little one-on-one with Kareem Martin and basically said, hey, my man, you got to produce, you got to get it going here, you know? Mm-hmm. And he seemed to have played a little bit better after that little one-on-one he had with Coach Betcher. But not, you know, to me, I think he'll be back. But Pat, not much out of him this year. I wasn't too impressed.
Yeah, I think they need some more talent there at the linebacker. You know, Gettleman, like you said, he showed a little bit of love. He finally drafted a kid, and he drafted a kid. Carter being like the highest draft pick for a linebacker in, you know, in a while. I mean, the last time the Giants took a linebacker within the first 2 days, I think you'd have to go back to Clint Sintem back, you know, a few years ago. Devon Kennard was, a fourth rounder, you know, and then they always went for the Band-Aid approach at that position. And it was nice to see Gettleman pay more attention to that and realize that, you need to have some good linebackers there.
Well, when you, especially when you draft him pretty high. I mean, Carter was a third-round pick, and he looks like he's going to be a nice little player for us. You know, when Reese drafted Clint Sinem, and what was that, the second round, Pat?
Yes, he was with
I mean, the guy was a bust. It's a second-round pick.
Yeah, but if you remember, Chris, what they did was a Sinem, I think, was a 3-4 end in college, and they tried to turn him into a 4-3 guy. And the transition just didn't work. He was not a fit for what they did. And, you know, I'll say this. When Jerry Reese was here, the biggest thing that I always suspected that was a problem is that he and the coaching staff were not on the same page regarding what type of players they needed. So, in other words, if Coughlin wanted, you know, this type of player, Reese would be like, no, this guy's better, you know, he's got better measurables, you know, he looks good in his underwear, running drills at the combine. I always thought there was a disconnect there between the coaching staff and the previous general management regime.
Well, that's very possible, Pat, and obviously it is the way he drafted, and to me, it's whose fault is that? That's the general manager. Why is he not working with the coach? All right? Mm-hmm. That's a whole other subject, you know, yep. It's all in the past, but, you know, if that's the case, and then there's no way Coughlin wanted half the picks that Reese wanted. You know, he drafted guys that did, you know, these ridiculous 4,000 push-ups and whatever it might have been, you know, who was that third-round pick at UCLA, Uwa, whatever his name was?
Oh, Digizua.
Yeah, who decided he didn't want to play football after a year, whatever that act was, you know. And it's just too many of that, Pat. There's too many of that. And you talk about, you know, Clint Sinem, you know, then you don't draft him in the second round. If you're gonna take a fly on a kid that, all right, we'll try to make him a 4-3 or a 3-4 guy, second round pick, Pat?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the only guy that had him rated that high. A la Eli Apple, a la Eric Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
All right? This is why we're in this mess, please.
Yeah. You don't spend high draft picks on guys you're taking flyers on.
Pat, if you want to draft him in the fifth round and say, listen, we like this kid's upside, we're going to try to make him into a 4-3, a 3-4 guy, whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that, Pat, fifth round. I'll give you that. But second round?
Yeah.
No.
Not one of his you know, shining moments, but
– out of many.
Yeah, unfortunately. Chris, let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll talk some more about the free agents. We'll talk about the future and just wrap it up on the linebackers. So, folks, do stay with us.
Hey, Giant fans. NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be the person with no rooting interest this year with Super Bowl 53 just around the corner. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, they're committed to excellent customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Remember, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during the postseason, you've got to go to MyBookie. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON in setting up your account. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. You're with Patricia Traina and Chris Biziano, who is my special guest, and he is helping me break down the Giants' bye position. And Chris, we've had some really productive and interesting and fun chats doing this exercise, wouldn't you say?
I thought so. A little fire. Listen, you know, we're pissed off, Pat. I think the fans are with us here. I mean, there's some guys here that were drafted, some guys the way they played this year. You know, we're pissed off. You know, we're going to say like it is, Pat. Hey, this guy isn't doing it. This guy isn't doing it. We're not going to be here and go, oh, yeah, Connor Ballmer. Oh, you know, he's a nice guy. He looked really great. He's not, maybe next year. No, we're going to say it like it is, Pat. I'm sorry. You know, the 5-11 team. If we're going to give a podcast, me and you, and say, oh, this guy was good. This guy's really good. Oh, yeah. Then you know what? Then we should be thrown off the podcast. So we're going to give it to you like it is, folks. I hope everybody's liking it, Pat.
Oh, listen, I appreciate it because, you know, listen, a lot of fans out there think that, you know, media lives for these types of scenarios, you know, writing about all the problems the team has. I don't know about you, Chris, but I find my job is a heck of a lot easier if I'm
Right.
writing about a winning football team. I think it's just more fun to look at the tape, to break down what went right, and to not have to spend, you know, countless hours on what went wrong and how to fix
Right.
it and second guess people and just, you know, go through these whole exercises that we go through. Do you agree with me? I mean, that's how I
Yeah, I
feel.
mean, not to mention being in a locker room after a loss compared compared to a win, right, Pat? It's a whole different world.
Yeah,
Being in a
absolutely.
winning locker room as opposed to losing, after a loss or after a win, it's a whole different
It sure
atmosphere.
is.
And yeah, listen, we want to see the Giants do well, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be ripping people apart. You know what I mean? I mean, we're gonna say like it is. If we feel a position or a player needs to be upgraded, we're going to say it. Okay,
Yeah.
we don't sit here and thrive on, oh, I hope the Giants go 4-12 next year, so we could write this negative stuff down. No, it's much better when they're winning, but we're pointing out why they're not winning or what needs to be done, right? I mean, it's not easy, Pat, but we'll
No.
see.
And sometimes you got to go, you know, you got to go with the unpopular opinions, as, you know, I am finding out every time I try and, you know, present facts on Eli Manning, and then I get killed by, you know, the anti-Eli crowd who basically says, "Oh, it's got to be Haskins or bust." But anyway, Chris, let's get back to the linebackers. You know, we were debating earlier in the show whether or not they keep, you know, all three of Ogletree, Goodson, this kid Ty Davis. I mean, I think we can agree that Nate Stupar probably is not going to be back. You know, I'm just looking at the
Yeah.
inside linebackers here.
Yeah.
What do you do here? Do you? I don't know how deep you got into the draft, but do you maybe take a flyer on a young guy? Do you add a veteran here, or
I
you know,
would add a
or
Patty. I'm sorry, go ahead,
I
Pat.
was going to say there's an option here, but go ahead, add, say what you're going to say, and then I'll
I
go to
would
the other.
add I would definitely go in the draft with it, and I would definitely bring in a couple of free agents, no question about it. And then you
Okay.
bring in the undrafted free agents after the draft, Pat, what you've seen last season in training camp, last training camp, excuse me, is that, Gettleman likes the competition. I fully expect to see a lot of guys coming in here and competing, especially against Goodson, Davis. I don't know, and we'll see what happens, But that's not a position you look at. Gettleman cannot look at this position and say, okay, we're good there. He has to
Yeah.
upgrade, has to get competition in here. So what do? You do it via the draft. You do it, undrafted free agents, kids that won't draft it, and free agency.
Now let me throw this little wrinkle out at you.
Yeah.
What about Landon Collins? Now, last year, Landon Collins played down in the box quite a bit. You know,
Yeah.
they asked him to do a lot of stuff. I think part of the reason why they asked him to cover and do all the stuff he was doing was because Curtis Riley was such a disaster. And we'll talk more about the safeties coming up in another show. But I'm just wondering, Landon Collins, for you know, pretty much played a lot of the linebacker role. I know in the past, you know, somebody suggested to him, well, what would you do if they asked you to switch full time to linebacker? And Collins was not, you know, it didn't sound like he was too enthusiastic about
No,
it. You know,
no.
but you know, look, we've seen him do it. He's played that pseudo linebacker and he's played it pretty well. So what if you say to yourself, okay, maybe if we can't get the linebacker in this draft class and we can't find a guy who's, you know, cost effective, maybe you turn Landon Collins into kind of that guy as a placeholder, assuming you sign him back.
Yeah, it's just tough because linebacker's got to cover too, Pat. It's just. I know a lot of people like they like to say, make him a Deion Buchanan, what Betcher did with him in Arizona. But Buchanan could cover better. Listen, you look at Landon, and like you said, he was always around the box, 478 snaps in the box, another 71 on the D line. That's a lot of snaps for a safety up that close, I don't know. To me, maybe he's got to gain a few pounds. I don't think he's really thrilled about that idea, Pat. He likes the safety position. The way I would go about it is that we have to get a ball hawking, good tackling, good angle taker, free safety to really help Landon out. That's the way I would approach it, Pat. I mean, not that Curtis Riley was good. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. I mean, Curtis Riley, you know, he couldn't take a right angle, and you know, he missed a lot of tackles and all that. So let's get Landon. You know what, Pat? Landon hasn't had a ball hawking safety in the 4 years he's here. How about we try to find him that?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a priority. And like I said, we'll talk more about the safeties, because that show's going to be an animated one. I can see that right now.
Yeah, I don't want to get into Landon too much. We'll save that for the safety.
Yeah, exactly.
But since we're talking about linebacker,
I'm just saying, I think, you know, again, part of that was Betcher bringing him down into the box. And, you know, they had a certain degree of success with that. And the thing with Landon... Yeah. You know, in the beginning, I know Landon started off on a, you know, slowly, and I asked him about it. I said, Landon, you know, numbers are deceiving. What exactly is going on here? And he basically told me that, look, everything I've had to get, I've had to chase down. He says, teams are staying away from me. Mm-hmm. So if they're staying away from him, and he's a potential, you know, guy that offensive coordinators are trying to scheme against, why not bring him down into that box as much as you can and have him do, you know, do his things? I mean, I think he can cover the short range stuff. Would I necessarily want him covering, you know, deep center field? I don't think so. But, you know, I'm sure he can handle the shorter range stuff. He's shown he can do that at any rate.
Yeah. Yeah. No, obviously you don't want him, like, you know, playing like a center field position. But, you know, you look at his numbers, right, Pat? I guess we'll get into Collins a little bit, and then we'll really get into him the next show.
Yeah.
But you look at his numbers. I mean, he was a free safety, 109 snaps. So he was all over the field. Mm-hmm. Betcher had him all over, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's what they like about him too, Pat. They like to put, instead of making him a linebacker, like an inside or whatever it might be, where he's, you know, he's doing his one responsibility. I think they like the idea of moving him around a lot. So I don't expect to see, if they bring him back, Pat, I don't expect to see him move out of that strong safety position. Hey, Pat, you see him in practice anyway. He's like a linebacker lined up half the times anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in that box all the time. You know, so, Pat, listen, just get him a free safety. You know, get him a pretty decent. I know they don't grow on trees and all that, but just get a kid in here that can handle his responsibility, that can make a tackle in an open field. And so with Landon, you know, he does his thing, and he knows he's safe on the other side. You know what I mean? That's what I like to say.
Yeah, but all right, so then with that said, let's take a look at some of these inside linebackers that are going to hit free agency. All right, so we've got, let's see, Avery Williamson of the Jets. He's going to probably draw a big amount, as is C.J. Mosley.
Avery Williamson? Nah, he signed a four-year, did he sign a four-year deal with the Jets?
Yeah, but he's listed as an UFA, so...
No, oh, that's got to be a mistake. Go ahead, go ahead.
All right, so let's see. C.J. Mosley of the Brown... I'm sorry, Baltimore.
He's not going anywhere.
Let's see. Denzel Perryman of the Chargers. He's had some injury issues. I don't know that I would roll the dice on him. Funny, he was a guy I wanted coming out of college. And, you know, he just has had injury problems. Monty Te'o. Let's see who else.
Yeah, the Saint. He's another guy with injury problems every year too.
Yeah, yeah. Quan Alexander of the Bucks.
Yeah, he
Jake
was. He
Ryan
got
of Green Bay. Yeah. I'm just looking a lot of these guys were set to hit be unrestricted free agents. These inside linebackers. You have a lot of guys who are 30 and under. You know, Bruce Carter of Atlanta is 31.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking for familiar names here. Kevin Minter of the Bucks, 28. Jordan Hicks of the Eagles, 27. Let's see. Who else? DJ Alexander of the Eagles, 27. Bryce Hager of the Rams. Preston Brown of Cincinnati. Josh Keys of Houston. So these are guys who played for pretty good defenses. I mean, you wonder if maybe, you know, there's an option there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Kwame Alexander in Tampa Bay, you said he was a free agent. He's a nice little player. He's been banged up. He's out right now. He finished the year on the injured reserve. He's a nice little guy. You know, he's always pretty active when he played. Yeah, there's a couple of guys, listen, they're not going to kill you cap-wise, you know. C.J. Mosley's not going anywhere. You know, I'd be shocked if the Ravens don't at least franchise him. He's an excellent player, so I don't expect him to go in. And he's going to be big money, Pat, if he does hit the market, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I don't expect that. So, yeah, listen, there's a couple of guys. We'll see what Gettleman does. He's going to bring in a few guys, I'm sure, you know, that aren't going to kill you with the cap. we're just not in a position to bring in a huge, you know, salary cap figure, Pat. We're just not in that position.
No, you're right. You're right. And here's the other thing, Chris. Guys are going to get cut. You know, there are going to be contracts that are lopped off. And, you know, if they want to continue with their careers, they're going to have to take maybe the 1 year veteran minimum, you know, just to reestablish themselves. So there's going to be that factor too, which is why, you know, I've always been reluctant to get too deep into free agency and the draft, because I always tell people, wait until we get closer and we have the field set. And right now the fields in free agency and the draft are not yet set. They will be, you know, the draft will be set, you know, I believe this week. Free agency though, I mean, I don't think you're going to see teams cutting guys until February. So we've got some time yet.
You got time yet. You don't know. Then the franchise period starts up in February. Then you got to see what they franchise and all that. So it's kind of early for all that. You have to see what teams are going to do with their guys. And, you know, the top names usually are not going to hit the market. You know, they're going to do something to keep them. Yeah. So which is why you have to draft well, Pat, and try to find. Yep. You know, listen, Gettleman's done a pretty good job finding some undrafted free agents when he was in Carolina. So, you know, you got to hope he does that here too. A couple of kids he brought over this year weren't bad. You know, the Grant Haley's, you know, guys like that, you know. And we'll get into that, you know, tomorrow when we start talking about, you know, the corners and all that. So that's what you got to hope he does. You know, you got to hope he hits in his draft again and hits on some free agents.
Yes, indeedy. And it's going to be very interesting to see just how much more love the linebackers get this year. Chris, great show as always. I mean, I love the discussions we've been having, the stats, you know, talking about the options and stuff like that. We, you know, if Gettleman ever needs assistant GMs, I mean, I think we should apply for the job. I can handle the cap. You can handle the personnel stuff, right?
Dave, I know Dave's listening. So, Dave, you know where to find us.
yes, folks. I promise you, folks, we weren't drinking or smoking anything when we recorded this. So, all right, folks, on that note, we will call it a show. Make sure you tune in the rest of the week. We still have cornerbacks and safeties to discuss. And like I said, that's when it's really going to get interesting and animated. For Chris Bisiano, this is Patricia Traina. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you again soon.